Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 574, recording live on September 25th. That's not right. It's October. Somebody did change this. Recording on October 16th, 2024. I'm your host, Dustin.
I'm Cowtown Tony. It is episode 577, I think.
Mine's updated. I don't know what's wrong with yours.
Yeah,
the big letters are updated. The small ones are not. If it's in italics, don't read it. Those are the things that we should have gone over with you before you came.
And continuing with this train wreck, I am another host, Kyle.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
I'm Adriel. I refuse to train wreck.
if it's on the teleprompter, I will read it.
It's good.
I took it off the teleprompter. There.
Thank you.
Easy.
Thank you.
I want to know how to host next week.
Now go put it back because I need it for next week.
Yeah. Just, you guys can figure it out. You've done, Kelly, how many of these have you done?
Not enough.
All right. Hundreds? How many hundreds?
Not enough.
We are flying dead stick now. I guess, are we starting with what we did in Guns, where our guest won't be here for a little bit? So,
yeah, so let's do that. And then they're going to be joining us in approximately half an hour.
Is what we did in Guns brought to us by anybody or not anymore? Okay. What we did in Guns is no longer brought to us by anybody. Always open to new people bringing us things.
Guns
and gun accessories. What I did in Guns, I cleaned some guns today, and that was lots of fun. Got some ammo prepped for a potential match at the end of the month. It's a zombie match that I would really like to do. But I might have broken my finger the other day, and it's my shooting finger. That's the most important one. It's the one I protect more than any other. Somebody else dropped a gun case on it. Darn it. Anyway. So we'll see. That may or may not happen. We'll find out tomorrow. But that's all I got done in Guns. Anybody else? What about Tony? Tony, what'd you do?
I'm focusing on destroying BTSA's IT infrastructure. It's great. Other than that, I didn't really do anything with guns. I did get my freaking almost last month's Steel Challenge score back, and I got 48% single stack, which is, in my opinion, okay, considering my carry optic score is in the low 40s. And there will be another match this weekend. I'll be shooting open with a carry optics gun just to fill in the spots. try to get the shirt, right? Well, maybe I'll get a flag because the hosts are saying my background's too empty. So we'll see what we do about that. But yeah, I've been asking to help out in an IT capacity for the club for a while, and they finally kind of gave me a chance and took me on. So to start, we use Office 365. So I'll be trying to optimize the workflow for everyone. I do this for work. Well, not completely 365 stuff, but IT service type of thing. So hopefully that will provide everyone with a better experience, help efficiency with the range. And I guess a shout out to anyone who helps out at any of the ranges. I know Kyle jumped right in for his multi-gun stuff. And after he moved, and I think if you can contribute to your local club, you definitely should.
Awesome.
Let's go to Adriel next.
No, Kyle. I'm driving.
Kyle, okay.
Kyle, would you?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I shot the USPSA New Mexico sectionals over the weekend, and it was a fantastic match. Some good stages all around, seemed fast, but then there were some tricky ones where they were quite technical on if you wanted to be competitive at it, take advantage of USPSA rules on being able to leave the shooting area. And there was some where you needed to make your pinpoint footstep to get just an angle. And like there was some risk reward stuff too. Like there was one stage where I completely eliminated a full forward position because I ended up shooting at a tuxedo that was down there, but it was just peeking out the wall. So when you do a tuxedo, for those who don't know, you basically just, it's at the edges of the A zone.
Okay.
And I had a quarter of the A zone from, I want to say 20 to 30 yards out to hit that target between the wall and then the hard cover of the target. It did end up paying off, but that was an example of one of the risk reward stages. Like that one, you definitely had to just slow down and get your hits.
Did you use your sling?
As opposed to my usual, just go out and blast and take the penalties later.
So Maples did it.
Yeah. So I think this was actually probably my best performance at a major down here in the States.
Cool.
So I ended up fifth in PCC and first in B class.
Good for you.
Wow. Good for you.
And had another B class PCC shooter in our squad. And we battled all weekend. It was really good because it was really close. And in the end, it came down to, I think, less than 10 points. I'm just pulling up the practice score because I can't remember this stuff. Yeah, it was like 10 points difference. And there was a 20-point difference going into the last four stages on Sunday morning. And I did not have a great Sunday morning compared to Saturday. Was definitely my day. First stage was not good, but that's where half my penalties for the entire match came from, was the first stage. But so penalties wise, let's see. I ended up getting a procedural, so a foot fault. I was coming around a wall and back into the shooting area, and my toe hadn't quite lifted up off the ground when I took my first shot. And so I took a foot fault on that. Overall for the match, two no shoots and two mics. So, and of course, they were right close ones. Actually, the one no shoot and one mic was the same shot that I took with, it might have actually been the next one after I got my toe off the ground from the foot fault. So that one target cost me pretty big.
Yeah.
And then another mic, it just, mine got ahead of me and I knew it. It was right in front of my face. All the targets I had penalties on were right in front of my face. And just trying to rip and started driving the rifle down to the lower target because it was a double stack with a no shoot in between, and just pulling the rifle down before breaking that second shot off. And then the other one was a tuxedo last target and just leaning out, try to rip off those last two shots. And it ended up, the second shot ended up about an inch into the hard cover, and I landed outside, looked at it, like, yeah, well, I'm not going to make that up now. So
fair.
The second no shoot I did make up with an alpha, so I just canceled it out.
Nice.
And but ended up, so there was one grandmaster there and he took first place. I ended up shooting 86% of him. So
that's not bad.
So I am pretty happy. That's where I say I like 86% of a grandmaster. I'll take that, and that's probably my best performance down here. That's
technically an A score, though.
That's actually technically master.
Oh. There you go. This guy is way faster than me, so I don't even know.
No, honestly.
I had to look to see where it was, and I looked it up, and yeah, no, that would be a master score.
It was a lot of fun watching the videos you were sharing. So.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was fun. I didn't get any third-person video, unfortunately. But and photographer got a couple cool pictures. I always don't have luck with the match photographers. They usually like never get shots of me or whatever. So I was happy to get shots of one stage I shot.
Oh, if they didn't know better, they would think you have a fixed magazine gun.
Yeah, I did end up taking a stage win too.
Really?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good
for you. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, it was good. It was one with lots of running. And it was really interesting because you had three shooting positions and the poppers activated a swinger, but at a different spot. So your right popper activated a swinger in the middle position, middle popper activated a swinger in the left position, and the left position popper activated a swinger all the way back to the right hand side. So you had to go back and forth.
So I have one question. Are you concerned when you do inevitably come back to shoot a matchup here that you're not going to have your reload reps in? I couldn't help but notice there's one one glaring thing in all of your video is a lack of reloads, significant lack of reloads.
Yes. Hopefully not, because I do have to train those, because even at this match, there was some unloaded starts, and especially like even on the rifle, my reloads have gotten quite sloppy. Pistol, it's still there. Like, I mean, I still have to end up having to reload with pistol. It's only an extra 10 rounds in the pistol.
Yeah, but when you start talking 30, 40, 50 round capacity magazines in your rifle.
Yeah. I wouldn't be that concerned about it, just because there are many USPSA classifier stages where you have to do mandatory reloads.
Yeah.
So Cal will be trained.
Yeah. I don't get as many reps in, but I can and should easily do that in dry fire.
Yeah. It'll come back too. It's muscle memory, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, overall happy, great match. The prize drawing. I wanted to talk about the prize drawing because this was a new one that I hadn't heard of, because it was random prize draw.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was random. Okay, we're drawing numbers based on your drawing the number of finisher, and then that was you, and then go walk the table. But they had a bunch of guns there as well, and they separated the guns from the main prize table. What they did was every 10th person pulled got a gun.
Oh,
that's cool.
Oh.
And then they reserved the last. And so, like, there was, I guess there was some echelons, like 320. There was a few good guns on there. They had a CZ Shadow.
Whoa.
And they saved that for the last person drawn.
Oh.
That's fun. I love it. Nice. That's so good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. It kind of cool. I feel for the ninth person, because they'd even announce it. Like, okay, you're coming up, and you had to draw the next person coming up. Yeah. Like, okay, well, you're drawing for who's getting a gun now.
Wow. They're going, oh, okay. Yeah.
But
I was
near the end. I liked it too, and not just because I pulled a gun off the table.
Oh, did you? What'd you get?
So I was near the end, but not at the end.
Yeah,
so I think I've got the third last gun, including the CZ. So I ended up picking up a Springfield XD9 SC.
Oh, cool.
That's not bad.
And so the only other gun on the table at that time was a sub 2000.
Okay.
So Gen 3.
Gen
2. Actually, I think it was Gen 2. 2. Yeah. Yeah, but
you have a better PCC.
Nah.
Yeah, you do.
What I'm curious, is there like a transfer waiting period in that case? What's the law?
Well, okay, so New Mexico there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so actually I got to get down to the gun store, give them the paperwork, and then I've already paid for the shipping for it. But then they'll ship it out. And New Mexico, it's a week.
They just
passed that last year. And if I could get the concealed carry permit for New Mexico, I would be able to bypass that.
But right.
I can't until I get green card.
Fair.
Cool. But this shop's pretty good. So once I go in there with the paperwork, they're going to start the transfer. So probably by time the gun's in, I'll be able to just pick it up. My 1 week will, because it starts at the time that my background check goes in.
So, oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah. So like I have to wait. So if I'm buying a gun, it's going through FFL. So I'm going to have to go through NICS anyways. It's not a private sale or anything.
Right. Which
New Mexico private sale technically is supposed to go through NICS, except for everywhere in the state is a 2A sanctuary. But yeah, then the gun shop even told me, like, yeah, and if I want to buy anything in that week or however long until I pick up the gun, they keep that form open. They keep that form open. So if I come in, oh, I'm good by that, that just goes on the same waiting period. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll be interesting to try out. I looked at it. It's got interesting little beaver tail safety. We'll see how that works on a subcompact.
Did you buy your 365 yet?
I have not.
So that means it's your new carry gun then?
I don't know. We'll test it out and see how it compares to the Taurus. It is not optics ready. So. But we'll see. It might end up being crystals.
Yeah, that would be a good gun for it, because it's only got like a 2-inch barrel.
It's subcompact. I have a feeling it's going to be the same size as the Taurus. Now on the Taurus, I think I might have actually found ammo that actually works good in it. I hate that gun. I absolutely hate it.
What? You never mentioned why you hated it.
Maybe it's break-in, but for one, it's hard to shoot. I've kind of subcompacts or micro compacts are a novelty in my mind because they are extremely difficult to shoot.
Yeah, they are.
And I couldn't get this one cycling. Now, last night when I was at the range, jumping a little bit ahead in what I did, but I went to the range last night and I was testing out some ammo I'd picked up at the match off the other B shooter. He was shooting this Supervel PCC Blitz, 100 grain ammo, 16-inch barrel, be like 135 power factor. Because I cronied my factory stuff. My factory 124 is over to my PCC, and I was hitting 167 power factor.
Just below major.
Yeah. But at the end, I was walking up to get the target, and I was like, well, I got my carry gun on. I should rip some rounds. So I went, and it cycled the entire mag. So
you didn't try ammo. You didn't try MagTech ammo. You got to have Brazilian gun, Brazilian ammo. Perfect.
Yeah, but I think that 365 will happen soon. I've been stashing money in a cash jar in my bedroom to save up for that.
Try the Springfield first. You want it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I will try it first. But like I said, it's not optics ready, and I kind of want an optic. But back to this Supervel. I don't know. I know a lot of people are running it. I watched Buddy run it. He didn't have any issues with it. I'm going to have to send him an email because I shot 50 rounds and 4 of them did that.
Ooh.
Oh.
No bueno.
Well.
Unloading. So.
Thrust into the.
And you can see the mark.
The case.
Yep. And it didn't. Luckily, it caught up or something and didn't let it go into battery or something because it just went. It was dead trigger. So rather fortunate for that because that's a heavily compressed load now. But yeah, so I'm going to send him an email because I bought 400 rounds off this guy and the first 50 I got, almost 10% failure.
Serious.
What's the chance it has something to do with your?
And I wasn't even ripping on it yet. I was just doing steady pulls. What was that, Adriel?
What were you shooting it with?
My PCC.
Try it on your handgun.
Well, it won't make power. It won't make power factor out of handgun.
But you could use it for just like blinking or.
Oh yeah, it's not going to waste. But I was hoping that because they're 25 cents a round, and
that's pretty expensive for.
No,
it's not.
No,
that's what I'm paying for anything else. And I'm way over power factor on that stuff because it's supposed to be like. I don't know, what is it, 1,200 out of a pistol, and I'm getting almost 1,400 out of it on my PCC.
Do you think of anything to do with your bow velocity just because you have the tricked out recoil system?
Thing is that it possibly, I want to email them and see what they say. To me, it almost seems like it's a crimp thing.
Yeah.
Like it was a light crimp.
The bullet they chose.
But because the buffer spring, it doesn't drive that bolt home super fast, even with that bit of spacer in there.
Okay.
But, it could be just the PCC. So, yeah. But I did reprint the short stroke kit. Sorry, we're all over the place with me tonight. reprinted it at 100%. I did try 50%. It fell apart, but it didn't like catastrophically fall apart after like 100 rounds. But that is after the entire match at 100%, and it is perfect.
Nice.
Oh, you didn't even do the whole planned first stage swap.
Oh, I printed 12 of them, so I knew that I could at least get it through a stage with one. So I had one for every stage. But that's the first one I put in, and it lasted through the whole time because I knew, like, okay, it was after 100 and some rounds that stuff was failing. So I was like, okay, I got a few stages to shoot this before it catastrophically fails, and it didn't. So far, so good. Moving on, I talked with Timney earlier this week about triggers for the PCC because while I like that trigger, it doesn't match my AR. And I got
1.5 pound.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a little bit more clarification. So I got the Kelvin Elite because I had it spare. I was like, can I please run this in my PCC? And they still told me no. So I kind of have to listen to them in my position kinda have too. To. So, well, they sponsor me, so I should probably listen to them. if I paid for it and just bought it, fine, okay, I'll run it, but I should probably follow their guidance. But I guess the major issue is the violence of the recoil and everything, but the hammer, I don't know if it's going to show up, but actually on the Kelvin Elite, actually contacts the disconnect on reset. So they say that's the main issue with it, and it just wears out parts. Okay. But they said they were talking with engineers, and their new AR Pro trigger, which is the replacement for the DH3, they said doesn't do that. And so they were saying in theory it should work, but they hadn't tested it. So they're actually sending me out, it should have shipped today, they're sending me out an AR Pro that I'll be doing a bunch of testing in the PCC with and make sure it runs good in the PCC, and then they can advertise it as, if it goes good, they can advertise it as okay for the PCC.
Nice. Put me in, coach. I want to be the beta tester.
With that conversation, you know, confirming slot for Superstition Mountain, and then they kind of, you see, anyway, so I'm starting to load up my next year shooting. So Texas 3-Gun opened, so Craig and I registered for that because that filled up rather quickly. And Superstition Mountain opened today. Confirmed with Timney my spot for there. And then, yeah, they were mentioning, oh, they're sponsoring two other matches that they wouldn't mind seeing me at. And so it's Arizona PCC Championship. So I'll put that on the schedule. And then Red October, I don't know if I'm going to do that one. I told them I don't own an AR yet. And
wrong AK. Where's your
An AK. You knew what I meant. I don't own an AK yet, and depending on the match dates, on exactly what weekend it falls on. So
yeah.
But yeah, it's next year is already starting to fill up. I think I'm already planning now 5 majors because I'll still go work Rocky Mountain and still planning for multi-gun Nats. So we'll see what other, and I'd like to do PCC Nats next year, but we'll see how everything goes.
As a Canadian, do you not own an SKS? Oh, you can't bring it here.
Nope.
I sold my SKSs once I bought an AR.
Fair. Exactly. I AK then. Palmetto State.
Yeah. We'll see. You still get to keep your ARs. We'll keep our SKSs. Whatever.
Where's my pistol at?
And then just prepping for local match this weekend. So you got local match, and yeah, that's about it for me. I could probably talk a little bit more, but looks like we're getting some guests filled up here too.
Yeah, we've got some guests. Should we shift gears, or Kelly Adriel, do you want to?
Kelly, is this everyone we're expecting?
So I was just talking.
We can start with the main topic.
I'm buff. Yeah, I'm buffering a little bit. Yeah, I was just telling them we'll be adding them a little in a few minutes because we were just finishing up what we did in guns, but we're finished what we did in guns. So let's add everybody and then we'll get into the main topic.
Wonderful.
I'm going to start adding people, and as soon as I add them, then people will be deleting them. So who's point person to add?
Ooh,
do you want me to add? I'm adding.
You said you were adding, okay. So
you added. We got one more, Jess. There we are.
And I added. There she is. Here. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hey. I think this is the most people we've had on the show. At one time.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah,
I do believe. And look at that. We can all fit on the screen, I think. Yes, everybody is here.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to welcome the three wonderful folks from the PRS Canada team. Thank you for coming. I'm technically driving, but, you know, Kelly's reaching over and steering from the passenger seat and, you know.
That's what I do.
But
do you have your BC Learner sticker on?
No.
But Jess, Paige, Yannick, welcome. Thank you for coming on Slamfire.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Now Kelly, where do we start?
Okay. So what I did was I just wanted to say hi to everybody. Thanks for coming on. We have somebody that was going to be coming on. He wasn't able to join us this evening as well, but Jess Titchler, her and I have been on podcasts before, and I've known her since she was knee high to a grasshopper with big curly hair, and you know, her smile was bigger than her gun. And Yannick, I know that you've been on Rimfire with Rick, and you're a seasoned podcaster as well. But Paige, welcome. Is this your first podcast?
Yeah, pretty much. No, my first one. Yeah, I've done stuff at like SHOT Show and, you know, interviews like that, but nothing like podcast wise like this. So this is my first time. So I'm excited.
Fantastic. Okay. And you guys are all part of Canada.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Kelly. I'll stop talking.
Your internet's a little bit behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to let Dustin drive the bus. But I'll jump in if my internet catches up. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good. Let me know if there's anything in particular I should be asking. I had some questions. I'm not really sure how to start this out tonight.
Why don't we start by letting them introduce themselves?
Yeah.
So Jess, Paige, Yannick, why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Starting with Jess, maybe.
Sure. I'm Jess. I'm 16. I'm from Southwestern Ontario. I've been shooting competitively since 2019 with my dad. I started off with a lot of Rimfire. I'm kind of relatively still new to Centerfire, to be completely honest. But yeah, it's been fun. We're still learning, but it's a journey.
Absolutely. And what about you, Paige?
I've been shooting for a while, but I've only been shooting long range for about 3 years. Before that, I did a lot of IDPA shooting. So I did a lot of handgun shooting here in BC. So I'm located at Chilliwack, BC. I also work for MDT Sporting Goods. So we are a local Canadian owned company, which is awesome. So that's where I kind of got started into the long range center fire and rim fire game. Because of course, you can't be at MDT without shooting, right? Because we're all shooters. So, and they push us out to get out there. So I say about 3 years doing long range center fire shooting. This is kind of like my first year of really doing bigger matches. I do go quite a bit down to the Pacific Northwest on the American side, do a lot of PRS shooting there too. So that's kind of where I got more and more into it. And then I was able to get onto Team Canada, and it was an awesome experience. So it's a little bit about me.
Awesome. And Yannick, how about you?
Yeah, well, not much to say. I started PRS under fire just before the COVID hit. So when it hit, I had like most people in Canada to stop shooting for like stateside, and pretty much every like military base were closed too. So I'm from Quebec, eastern side, and we only shoot PRS on military base. So we had to break and I started Rimfire just to, you know, get the thing going on. And when COVID, when they reopened the border and, you know, every restriction went out, I started back again on the Centerfire, and that's pretty much what have been happening up to the world a couple of weeks ago.
That's awesome. So it seems like kind of everybody had a different journey, but you've all managed to get here together. That's real cool. Jess, I can't get over the fact that you're 16. I feel really, really like just like, what have I done with all of the years of my life? But that's wonderful. And Paige, that's cool that you're out at MDT. We're close. I'm in Burnaby. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Spend some time out in Chilliwack. Close. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, we probably shoot at some of the same ranges.
Yeah, probably, right? Because there's some cool ranges around here, too. We do a lot of, like, the BCPRL shooting. We do a lot of the Chilliwack and on the islands, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Kelly, do you have any direction you want to take this tonight?
Sure, yeah.
I don't have any show notes, so I've just got questions.
Okay, so why don't we get into it from the perspective of how were you chosen to represent Canada? Actually, before we do that, can we talk about what guns you were using down in the U.S.? Because it's a gun show, and then let's get into how you're chosen to represent Canada down in Colorado, and we'll talk about how the match went and everything like that. So, Yannick, what were you shooting down in Colorado? What was your setup?
I was one of the open team shooters, so I had pretty much my usual rifle. So it's like, obviously, it's a full custom rifle, Defiance yep. Elite Action benchmark barrel in a 22 BR yep. MPA chassis with Schmidt and Bender scope on it, and a lot of MDT goodies like the bipod, the timer, the level on it. So yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much what I was shooting.
Sounds beautiful.
Paige, what about you?
Yeah, for sure. So I had a Defiance Deviant Elite Action with a Geissele barrel. It was 26 inches. It's chambered in a 6BR. So this was my actual second match shooting the 6BR. I used to shoot a 6.5 Creedmoor before and then went over to something that just recoils a little less. I had it in the new MDT ACC Premier Gen 2 chassis. So I like to run something a little bit more maneuverable. I know a lot of the guys try to weigh heavy rifles down, but I am not a very big person and I need something to be get in and out of and across the rocks and the terrain really fast. So I decided to go with a little bit of a lighter setup. And then I also use a Burris XTR Pro scope, which I really like because it has a turrets on the top where you can actually mark your dope on there too. So it's nice and quick. So you're not always, I have my dope card still just to verify, but I can quickly, if you're yeah. going back, between targets, you can quickly switch. You have two different colors, same color one, color two, switch. So I really like that too. And then I was also using Peterson Brass, which I'm also sponsored by, which was really, it was really great. Like the whole time, the bad thing about the Deviant Elite is it likes to throw its control around for you. So it likes to throw the brass. So I had one stage where an RO looked at me, he's like, man, I tried to grab your brass, but it was going flying straight over the edge down the cliff. And I'm like, I know, it does yeah. that. So it's yeah. it's that painful thing when you know, the brass goblin gets your brass in there. But, and I also do a Trigger Tech trigger, single stage. So it nice. Was, it was a really nice setup.
Yeah. Jess, you want to tell us what you shoot? I've seen what you shoot, so tell us all about it.
So I shoot also a 6BR. I started off with a 6XC, but we kind of like, I'm not a big either. So we went for like a lower recoil so I can manage it, which actually is so nice. It's really nice. So I have a 6BR with a PVA barrel. So M24 mm-hmm. contour one. It's nice. It's nice and heavy. Weighs it down. So like no recoil. It's great. Well, there's a little bit. And then I have a KRG C4 chassis with also using Defiance Action. I have the Tenacity.
Okay.
And then I have my USO FDN 25 scope. I'm on their pro staff team as well. So they've been really good to me. They sent my scope to Cameo. So I got my nice little Cameo present.
Nice.
Which was really fun. And I also shoot Peterson Brass. I was one of their supported shooters this year as well, which has been good. And yeah, just my little MDT goodies, like my send it level with the Brantbuilt ocular mount, which is great because I'd ignore the level on the side. I'd just like be so like locked in on like my scope. I'd just completely ignore it. So now it's like right in my eye. So I can't ignore it. So there's no excuses. So yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. So Yannick, you talked about it a little bit. You talked about previous to COVID, we had some shooting. Well, I know I met you at Meaford Long Range, right? So one of the questions I had for you guys is to ask, how were you chosen by the team? How did you qualify? Because we've had some challenges, or maybe we don't anymore. Do we have challenges with shooting matches here in Canada to qualify to go to the Worlds?
Yeah. Well, there have been a lot of discussion about how we gonna qualify the team. Of course, there is World Center Fire, and then the year after that is the World Rimfire, and then we go back to Center Fire. So for the Rimfire, the qualification have already been out, and we have not really much issue with the Rimfire stuff. We have plenty of really good big matches in Canada. They also have the States, so it's going to be easier to collect, you know, all the information we need for every shooter on like their position over the country. For Center Fire, it was more difficult because a lot of club matches are all by themselves with, you know, they follow most of the time the PRS rules, but it's we cannot really control the quality of the match, quality of the props, the quality of the targets, distances, and stuff like that. And for example, there is a small league in New Brunswick, which have probably about 30, 40 shooters at every of their matches, and it's really great. But how can you measure like the talent in those league compared to those who shoot only in BC? And try to like put all of that together at the level of competition that's going to be at the World Championship, and that was the biggest challenge we faced. And so we took a look about the how many shooter we have that that you know shoot in the PRS Pro Series, and we got quite enough name of into that, and so that's what. Was happening. So we decided that we're only going to use the pro matches from the PRS series, no matter where they have been for the last 2 years, I think, or if I remember correctly. And so people have submitted their pro matches because the idea of the pro matches is that they're usually almost all on the same squad, on the same scale, I should say. Okay. And no matter if you shoot it in Canada, in the States, or even like in any other country, they're going to have about the same level of difficulty, the level of shooters that's going to show up. And so your position can be compared from one to the other. And so we cross the result that have been submitted from the Pro Series matches for the last few years. And to a guy, I cannot remember the name, but someone have put a table of difficulty level matches. And so some matches, even the pro series, are harder than others, depending on like how many like pro shooter the US have showed up there and stuff like that. So we tried to scale also the pro matches with that number up, which we won't do again in the next few years. So that's what was happening this year for the selection. For the next few years, and I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that, but we're going to have more pro matches in Canada.
Okay, you can talk about it.
Yeah, someone's going to text me someone's going to text me, shut up, you've said too much, but we're going to have more pro matches in Canada, and we've been in contact with a couple match director also in, you know, up north to have and to host pro matches, pro level matches into either PRS series or, you know, anything that's too day really compared to it. So we can host in Canada matches that can, you know, compete at this kind of level to select our team. Okay. So yeah, that's what, you know, it's continuing learning, the IPRF has been up on the for 2 years now, so it's still still kind of new sport.
Perfect. Sorry, go ahead.
No. That was actually like my big question to ask, just because the country is so varied and I don't see a ton of matches kind of anywhere, even here, like even in BC, like I know there's some, and every once in a while, like it's a thing I've been curious about pursuing one day, but that's good. So the goal is more pro matches, sounds like kind of the way in the future. That's great.
Even in here in BC too, we're trying to get more matches. Like we do like an MDT Midsummer Madness and a Go Big Tactical one up in Merritt every year, but we want to get to the point where we can do like 2 day, you know, pro series matches like they do down in the States. Like we really want to push hard for that so we can bring more Americans up here too. I know we do some NRL Hunters in Cranbrook and that's kind of getting more, but I know with the BC PRL that we're doing, working with Josh Bothas on there too. He was part of the team. He's really pushing hard to get more and more of these matches and also just to get more people out too, right? That's a big thing too. Not only is it to do more of these matches, it's also to get a lot more people involved because it doesn't matter what level you're at, anybody's welcome at these ones too. So that's what we're trying to let people know. It's not just these high tier shooters. It's everybody in between. Like everybody can do this.
Yeah. I think that was always the thing that kind of kept me out of it pre-COVID, was just a little bit of an intimidation factor. It wasn't the kind of shooting that I did. But that's really cool. I think that's kind of a fantastic goal.
And any of the shooters that are shooting there too, they're more than happy to help you. Like any of the experienced people, like if you have any questions, that's the great thing about this sport too. Even when I go down to the States, everybody's intimidated to go. I'm like, no, everybody there is always willing to help you, let you borrow gear, you know, and that's why I love this community so much. It seems scary at first, but it's amazing on both sides and even all around the world. Even when we had everybody come there, everybody was helping each other out. There's no rivalries. Obviously there's a little bit, you know, everybody wants to beat the States because they're the best. They've been doing it a little bit longer, but they still were super nice and everybody had a great time.
Well, and then also like the equipment you guys are using. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, these kind of rifles are a little less offensive to politically speaking. So, you know what I mean?
They like, don't look as scary.
No, well, it's just like, you know, you talk about going down to the States and I used to go down quite a bit different kind of competitions and like all of the guns that were on that ATF forum, like, I don't think any of these can go to Washington anymore. Like, and but not the case for you guys, I guess, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we're saved so far. It doesn't mean like we don't feel concerned about everything that's happening. And you know, we also shoot most of the shooter use more than 10 rounds magazine because most of the stages are either 10 or more than
four.
And so we most people I will say, well, personally I use only 12 rounds. Even
MDTs.
Yeah, even with a 10 round stages, right. You know, you have two spare.
Don't worry, I'll talk
about it later. Yeah, you have two spare, so you can eject one for any failure you have, and you can still going on. So that's a big part of the sport right now, and everyone is really concerned about the mag limitation at 5 because it's going to change everything for us. So, but
Yeah,
especially in rimfire too, because you can get like up to 14 round magazines too, and they're a lot more finicky in rimfire too. Like you always could have issues, so it's nice having that extra capacity. So it is a little worrisome, I mean, for sure. Even for us too at MDT, we had to move states because of it down there. Because going from Washington over to Idaho Falls, so we've seen a little bit of an impact. So it's worrisome, but hoping you know things don't go that way.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Some of those rimfire guns I'm actually really curious about. There's some neat things you guys have.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And once again, like any people that want to come out, we always try to do like loaner rifles too. So you don't have to worry about being embarrassed, be like, I only have this tiny little factory rifle. It's like, no, like get in contact with us. We'll set you up with a rifle. Like we're more than happy to set you up with ammo and rifle and go from there, right? We want to get everybody involved, and you don't have to have all the knowledge. Like it's a very simple, easy thing to do. Like get out there, right? It's not too hard.
Yeah.
Excellent. Note to self, Paige is my new best friend.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of rifles, so anytime you want to go, let's go.
Yeah, I might actually give you a poke. I'm in Chilliwack often, so.
Perfect. Let's do it.
And that's probably the case for every, you know, my bad. Out east, it's about the same. Like, we have loaner rifle at about every matches, every club. If they don't, just send an email to the match director and he's going to hook you up with anyone. Like, most of the shooter have spare rifles and like, we don't mind. We really don't mind, like, helping each other's and just borrow someone else's rifle and stuff like that. At the world, I had an issue with mine, and I ended up the match with Ryan's rifle down there. So, yeah, that's the kind of community we have in the shooting sport. So,
it's awesome. A good community. Yeah.
Jess. Our community is really good.
Sorry.
I was going to say, like, especially when we're down in Colorado, we were looking for like ranges so we can like test like the speeds and stuff, all altitude performance cameo, because we knew kind of like our sighted day. We only had like, I think it was like an hour or half an hour. It wasn't a lot of time. So we knew like, hey, like I want to like get like my gun zeroed, like, you know? So we were down in Gunnison and we were just like looking around, and then there was this dude and we emailed him prior and he was like, oh, like, come on down, like, I'll help you out, like, well, I'll teach you all the Colorado winds, all the mountains and all that. So I went down there for a morning until like mid-afternoon. He like opens our house, he had coffee in his house, and he went out to like the range. It was really good. Like everyone in the community is so great, and like, especially at matches, being like younger and like a girl, people can be really intimidating, or like going to matches as like a female shooter can be like really intimidating, but like everyone's so like open and like welcome to like help you. It's like, oh, like, here, this is what I would do, and like they're so like quick to like offer up help. Like, most of the time you don't even have to ask. They'll like be so like welcoming, which is really good.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. Can you tell us, Jess, about the matches that you shot to as part of the Pro Series too? You went down into some of the states around where we live. I know that I was watching. So what were some of the matches that you did?
For the pro matches, I did the Vortex Vengeance at MKM and the Peterson Cartridge match, because there's not really much where I am, just because we're in Southwestern Ontario. So there's not really like a lot of like ranges where you can go like straight out to like 1200. So we had to like, we were driving like 7 hours down to Pennsylvania to get some like just center fire period. Sort of in like New York and Pennsylvania area. So we tried like to get as much as we could, like in terms of practice, but it's just, how much driving can we do in like 8 months to prepare, you know? But we did the two pro matches in Pennsylvania at MKM.
The manicured golf course. That's what I call it.
Well, cause everything like down where I am is so like square ranges. So going to Cameo as well was so different. It was like, oh my God, there's mountains. There's so much like target acquisition. I was like, but it was a really fun challenge. It was cool.
That's so awesome.
Do you guys want to talk about CAPRA, the organization itself? So it's the Canadian, It's the Canadian Precision Rifle Association, right? And you said it's relatively new, Yannick?
Yeah. Well, the IPRF, which is the International Rifle, you know, the biggest association, which under every country have, it's about the same letter. So it's the first two letter of your country, then PRA. So for Canada, it's CAPRA. And IPRF, the first matches they've organized with France in 2022. And for the centerfire match, we were not organized enough at that time. We heard about it probably 2 months prior of the match. Okay. So we sent two shooter that was just volunteered to go down there. And the next year was the first rimfire stuff. And now, well, we are on the second edition of the centerfire world this year. So yeah, so CAPRA, you know, existed in 2022, but wasn't really organized. And then we formed a small group at that time. We were now five on the, what we call the board. So we were just trying, you know, to help and organize to form the team and, you know, flow all the information to all the shooters and the community to make the group, make the travel and, you know, stuff like that. So it's been, I'll say 2 years, but it's been like a good last year was pretty intense.
Yeah. Organizing everything and getting everything ready for this year.
Yeah. For the first time. Well, we've sent a good team in Italy, and we've learned a lot about, you know, the selection process and how to get the rifles down there and communication and stuff like that. And we've a lot of lesson on how you shoot the match as a team down there, lesson that we've applied this year. And, you know, it's been growth a lot since the last like 12 months, and going forward, it's going to be just better and better for sure.
Right. And I was following everybody that went over to Italy last year as part of the Rimfire. And again, you know, next year when they're selected for the Rimfire Worlds next year. But let's talk about this year in Colorado. You guys went down there. You did send a really healthy team. And not only was it a large-ish team, you guys did great. You kicked butt. It was awesome. So how many teams competed in Colorado? It was last month. It was September, correct? Yep. For those people who don't know what we're talking about, I'm sure that they're listening because they do want to know more about what we're talking about. But do you want to talk about where it took place and when it took place, Paige? So where was the world?
Yeah, for sure. So it was at a place called Cameo Shooting Complex. So that is down near Grand Junction in Colorado. So it is a world-class shooting stage. So pretty much you're in like a high desert canyon type environment. It was elevations are high. So people like us in BC and other places were, it was a little bit of a struggle at first, but I had gone down there earlier in the year because there is a match that is run by Keith Baker and Doug. And it's an amazing place. If anybody can get out there to shoot down there, I would highly recommend it. The stages are so far from each other. You actually have to take quads and side by sides up to the stages. So they had people running those, but the way they ran it was so smooth. So they always had somebody down there able to take you up to the top end of the stages and then able to let your car drive around to the other side, where we had the lower ones there. It was run so well. They made sure there was enough water, food, anything that anybody needed. They had ROs constantly, running by, or the match directors making sure that everything was good with everybody. We had state, and also the stages, how they were set up too. You weren't with your team per se, you were split up between, so the different countries had one person in each squad, not stage. So the squad, so that you were shooting not with just your team, you were also shooting with your other countries too, so you get to know each other a lot better and be able to build those relationships.
Yeah, it was great to see the different, the diversity within the squads. There was youth shooters, females, there was male shooters and different types of shooting as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. And there was they were allowing people to come up and spectate too, which was really cool. So you could have your family members with you to come spectate and see how you're shooting. So, yeah, we had divisions. So the kind of different divisions we had open, which shot different than the rest of the division. So we had females or ladies division, limited, factory, seniors, juniors. So we shot on the Friday, Sunday, and then the open would shoot on the Saturday, Monday, just because there was just too many of us. We couldn't. I think there's about 200 and I can't remember. It was like 250, maybe somewhere in there, about 22, 23 countries that came. And there were some other healthy countries too, like the Norwegians had a big team, the Swedes. Yeah. We had people from all the way from South Africa, Australia, New Zealand. So some people traveled quite a bit to get there, and some really good shooters too coming out of there, which is awesome to see that they're improving more and more and more. And they have PRS all over the world. So it's going to be really exciting to see in 2 years those people we did meet, how they're going to be coming back in. So we definitely have to be on our toes. We cannot, you know, step on, you know, the brakes. We got to step on the gas because they are coming up fast, and we've got to make sure that we keep up on our end too here. But it was an amazing time. So many relationships built, so many people even helping each other out too. Like we said before, like in the squad, it was definitely like if somebody's having struggling or anything like that, they'll come up and help you and be like, hey, do you need any help? You know, what's going on here? So that was awesome too.
Fantastic. Carly was saying, so Carly is somebody who I spoke with recently about her and Vanya about their optics company. And I know that they're heavily involved in PRS and also with they went down with you as well. I saw that too. So she said there is 266 participants from 22 countries, which is freaking awesome when we think about it. How many were from Canada specifically? So how many shooters did we send?
We had 30 shooters.
Okay.
Overall, plus family and support team. And yeah, so that I will say more than 50 Canadian were there, but only 30 for the team shooting.
Okay.
That's a big team.
Yeah, it is a big team.
Yeah. Especially we're ranging from all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast of Canada too. So it's not like one central area. Like we're kind of spread out all the way from BC, Alberta, you know, Manitoba, right. Saskatchewan, Ontario, all over the place. We represented.
And Yannick, you said that you guys may not send quite as big a team next time. Did I catch that right before? Or is it the plan to keep with something this size? Like,
yeah, we plan to keep as much shooter as we can.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Good representation.
100%. So Jess, do you want to talk a little bit about the youth group that went down? Yeah. You were the only female on it, but there was four other guys, right? There was five of you all together?
There was only four of us.
Four.
It was me, Luke Trinke, Chase Beckley, and Andrew Wolf. And all really, 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 really talented guys. Yeah. But it was really good. Me, Chase, and Andrew all stayed in like an Airbnb together. So it was really fun to have like, it was like a lot of because I never met any of them before. So it was nice to like meet everybody. And yeah, it was really fun. And now I'm like good friends with everyone, which is really nice. It was a lot of like relationships were built. So it was nice. So I have more shooting buddies. So I'm more my age instead of like full grown men.
but not creepy at all. It was okay. Really
nice. Yeah, the old men are intimidating for sure.
But yeah, the junior team they sent this year was so incredibly talented.
Yeah.
We ended up in second as well, which was exciting.
That's awesome.
Congrats.
Thank you. But yeah, it was really good. And also something to add on to like the diversity of like the squads. I was expecting more of a language barrier because like so many different countries, but honestly, there wasn't really that bad of a language barrier. There was only one guy in my squad who couldn't like speak English, but he spoke French, and I can speak like a little bit of French. So yeah, it was honestly really good. I was pleasantly surprised with how easy it was to like, communicate with everyone, because like Paige and Yannick were saying, everyone was so like helpful, and like if you had a bad stage, they'll be like, oh, like you're like doing this, like next time like hold a little more wind or hold less, you know, or like your elevation's off by like 4 tenths, like, you know. It's like, it's, everyone's really helpful.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Jess, you said, like, it sounds like you don't get a huge opportunity to practice at some of those distances. Hey, like what's been your experience kind of expanding into that skill set a little bit? Like how are you training?
So we have like a range, like my like home range was like Warren Field, which is like 5 minutes away from my house.
Ah.
That like we can get some distance by like shooting across the field, but not so much in the summer because they like grow corn in the fields there. So you kind of got like the winter months and then a little bit into the spring before the corn gets too high because the corn shoots up so quick.
Yep.
But there's not really a whole bunch, so I'll just like, it's like 200 yards I can get, like sometimes a little bit more. It honestly, it really depends. Again, like shooting across the fields, but I trained a lot of rimfire, like. My rimfire skills honestly kind of like translated towards centerfire. Obviously there was like a lot of learning curves, but my background in rimfire, cause I have so much, like I'm really strong in my rimfire. So a lot of those skills really transferred over.
Yeah.
But, again, like I was saying, like we were shooting almost like a match, like every single weekend, but a lot of those were centerfire. So we'd go down to like New York and Pennsylvania for like smaller matches.
Right.
So I was trying to get as much match experience as I could, while also getting like positional practice in and dry fire and all of that. So I was trying to balance it all.
That's just super impressive. Again, somebody at your age operating at that level is just mind blown. Congrats to you guys coming in second. That's awesome.
So, Yannick, do you want to talk about how our 30 participants went down? What was the breakup with respect to open our LEO and military crew as well? They placed well. They came in second, I believe, as well. Correct? Do you want to do a breakdown on how everybody did and that?
Yeah, I'm going to have to look back at our scores because like we got so much team on the podium, honestly.
Right. As I said, you Canadians get down, we represented.
Yeah. Yours, I don't even remember.
No, there is too much. Junior team took second place. Mm-hmm. The factory division, which is like rifles out of the shelf, out of the box, took second place also. We got a senior division, second place also. Mm-hmm. We got Milio third place. On the Milio, we also got Etienne, who got the third place individual. The mm-hmm. rest of the calls were all for the team, and for the limited, we were fourth. And overall, if I remember correctly, the Canada was fifth as a country for every division and overall. So that's kind of still not too bad for 22, 23 different countries down there.
Right. And also with the population base that we're pulling from, as Paige said, we're pulling from across the country. The U.S. sent a huge team. Obviously, it was in the U.S. as well. And they quite frankly have the ability to shoot more often than we do. So I thought that as I said, Canadians were well represented down there. You guys did a fantastic job. Paige, what about the women's, do we call it ladies or women's? Who are your two mates and how did you guys
ladies.
Go? Yeah, ladies. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Ladies. So we had, I'm going to forget everybody's name here because you put me on the spot. There's Cheyenne, myself, Shauna, and Estelle. So Estelle is also locally out of here too. She's out of Squamish, out of BC. So I've shot with her quite a bit. So I knew her going down because we've shot rimfire, and she also comes down to the American matches. The other two, I talked to them before online, but haven't met them in person. So it was really awesome to see them in person, and we just clicked right away. So we had a great women's team. It was awesome to see. I just love it when we see more and more women getting into the sport and having the passion, and everybody's just nice. And like I said before, helping each other out. So it was awesome. I enjoyed them, and they're great shooters and great women too.
So you had already shot with some of them previously.
With Estelle. Yeah.
But again, making some friends, fast friends.
For life exactly. As well. Yeah, and all the other lady shooters too. We at the very end, after the closing ceremonies, one of the ladies wanted to get us all the lady shooters together from all the countries and take a photo together. So, and it was really cool. So I'm hoping that next time we go in 2 years, the picture gets bigger. So there's more women from all the different countries too. Like I will try my best to get more and more people, women shooters into it as best I can. especially from other countries too. I'll be like, hey, I'm more than willing to help you out too. And if you're located in a different country, I'm not just saying, hey, I'm only for Canada. I'm for the whole world.
Wonderful. Oh, well, if I fly out to BC, I'm sure that I'll bring Dustin along and we can shoot together.
Yeah, let's do it. I've got some good spots to go. So yeah, there's some really nice spots up here in the mountains.
So Carly's adding to the commentary as well. She said Canada and the U.S. are the only two countries with teams that were a full roster of 30. So, mm-hmm. which is fantastic to see again. We do have some questions from people. Why don't we actually get into those and then we can bring in some other things too. So from Rob McCracken, he says, anyone know what the percentage roughly of the donation sponsorship raffles to help the Canadian team cover the cost in Colorado? I know there were events I know these events can be costly. Was happy to enter into the raffle and buy swag. So,
yeah, we had couple things going on. We had one rifle for the main team and one rifle to help more of the Yao shooter because they need to cover their accommodation, their parent, and right. So like it's more costly. Plus, you like at 16 years old, you might not have a job that brings as much money as the other other competitor usually. So we've tried to help them a bit more. But yeah, it's been really, you know, this kind of competition come with a quite high cost. We've been lucky enough that the match this year was in the United States with, which like I will say more than half the Canadian team have been able to drive down, but some people from the eastern part needed to fly down there. But I don't know. I will say we might have covered 10% with the fundraising of the total cost of the of traveling, entry fees, and stuff like that. So it's not what we were expecting at the beginning, but we've got a lot of support. We've sold tons of tickets with the raffle and hats and shirts. We got a lot of support and we're really appreciative for that. And we'll see how it goes for the next few years. Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to be doing the exact same thing for the Rimfire as well, I believe. Correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
For the next year's Worlds.
Yeah, we haven't much talk about we were still like driving back home and in the plane, and we were already texting about the qualification and stuff for the Rimfire, and we're like, well, what about we take a break for like at least a week? So we're in the discussion about that, but yeah, we're also gonna do some fundraising and stuff like that to help, you know, still help the team.
Do you want to talk about some of the sponsors you had? I saw the banner with everybody up there. Do you want to talk about some of them?
Yeah, but again, I'm going to have to check my book. I can't remember.
There's a lot.
Why don't we go to Scrabs? Well, you look it up and we'll go to Scrabs. He had for when y'all take questions later. So this is that point. Curious to hear about the transition from Rimfire to Centerfire PRS. Been shooting Rimfire in BC for a few years now, and I'm building a Centerfire setup for the next season. Just wondering if there are any bad habits I should look out for.
Yeah, the big one going from Rimfire to Centerfire is recoil, right? Because you're not used to the recoil going from Rimfire to Centerfire. So that's a huge thing, making sure that, you know, you're going to be able to compensate that for that. Because a lot of people say, oh, I want to use my trainer as Rimfire, but I'm like, for Centerfire. But I'm like, no, I would go more to like a 223 for a trainer if you're trying to train up on your Centerfire, because that's going to give you a little bit more recoil, and you're going to learn how to do your recoil impulse control. You know, you're going to be able to get your MPA going correctly, which is natural natural point of aim. Yeah, sorry, going through there. So making sure you get that. But Rimfire is also there, like Jess said before, it's also very good because you're getting the trigger time, and trigger time is what's really important. So getting your position, you know, learning how to transfer from position to position. That's what Rimfire I find is really good for, but definitely being able to control that recoil, because you want to be able to see that target and get back on target really fast, because target acquisition in some of these matches is really hard. Because I shoot out in the Pacific Northwest, where finding targets can be very difficult. So at least I had my target acquisition was a little bit better, because it's not just these manicured straight lines. There's a lot of shooting in trees and bushes and different hillsides. So that is something, when you aren't used to that recoil, it can be quite a little bit of a learning curve. But I said, if you're wanting to transition to that, go and you want to do like a trainer gun, definitely go, you know, 223. I know the ammo is a little bit cheaper, because it may be going up to like 6.5, or trying to reload the ammo does, especially here in Canada. It's nicer in the States because they get a little bit of a break on that. But yeah, definitely those are things to look for, is definitely compensate that recoil, because it's going to be different than Rimfire.
Great tip. Yannick, you got your sponsors up there?
Yeah, might not be up like last update. I'm not the right person for talking about that. It's more Carly who's taking care of that. But we got mostly for the rifle we got for you know the ticket raffle.
Yeah.
We got IBI who provided the barrel, and DTU provided the chassis. We got Apex Optic to top all the rifle with the scopes. We got Ultimatum Action. We got the Trigger Tech, KDEX for the chassis, and we also got other sponsors like for the team Quartz Group. You probably know them. Go Big yeah. Tactical, NFA. All right, I think I'm saying it right.
Yeah,
Dominion Outdoors. Proof Barrels, Labrador, Vortex. That's mainly what I have on here. And Ken, who also did the chamber from accuracy. Yeah. I'm not sure about the name of the company.
Carly would probably be able to, while we're talking, she's
probably doing it right now. As we speak, she's really good. Like, she was really awesome down, taking care of us down in Cameo too. So I got to do a shout out to her. She was making sure everyone was taken care of. If there was any issues going on, she was like the point of contact to, you know, run around. They rented their own like side by side and was going around taking, there she is, Accuracy Development Solutions. Like, Ken, shout out to him too, because he chambered my rifle too. It's great. I have no excuses. But yeah, Carly was awesome. She was supporting us every point of the way and organizing it too. Cause there's so much little things you don't think about. Right. And she was making sure she was on top of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a huge fan of yours.
Organizing it.
I was just going to say,
Carly was like running up and down the side of the mountains, like bringing lunches up. And I was like, girl, I'm like huffing and puffing, like walking through like the Colorado, because from like the elevation difference is such a big difference. I'm like, I don't know how you're doing that right now. I'm like hardly walking.
Yeah. There was some point.
Really
yeah.
Her and Madeline were doing a really good job. They're the mom of the team. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Yannick.
Yeah, when we were talking about lesson learned from Italy, that was one of the main points of the team, is that there is so much stuff going on that when you're shooting or you're a shooter, and like you still need to keep your game on, you know, the shooting part. So if you got to, like, if your buddy shooting side to you doesn't have enough water, well, you have other stuff to do than like running down the hill or like driving down the hill for 30 minutes to get a water bottle for him and stuff like that. And so, and someone just taking care of all the organization. And so Carly took care of all of that this year. And that's going to be like, definitely have been so helpful for all the team. Like, everyone's been really, really appreciated for that.
Yeah. 100%.
So you got, everybody mentioned it, including Carly and Paige, you mentioned it, and Jess, you mentioned it. So the elevation. So there's such a huge difference between, let's say, for example, Jess, we're here in Southern Ontario, where quite frankly, it's like almost below sea level. And then we have Alberta, which is, you know, Alberta, which is Calgary, so we have Canon access there, or where you are, Paige, Chilliwack, which has mountains as well. It's more along the lines of Colorado. So how do you prepare to shoot for something that has the elevation, the moisture content in the air as well? Because Colorado is much more dry than than up here currently right now. Yeah. Elevation difference as well. So Carly did say, we should have Carly on the show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because I see her keep popping in there, right? She's
Carly will bring it on next week or something that. Yeah. How did you prepare for it? Because it is so different.
So the week before, what I did was I was super hydrated. So like I was already pre-hydrating the week before I went, knowing, because I've already shot there. I shoot at Parma in Idaho. I've shot at, you know, Lead Farm down in Southern Washington, which is a little bit drier too. So I know making sure you're keeping hydrated, because there are times, like when I was shooting at Cameo earlier in the year in May, there was people who weren't drinking enough. And it's not just water too. You have to make sure that you're hydrating yourself with either electrolytes or something that will be able to absorb into your system. But I found being able to hydrate myself quite a bit beforehand really, really helped that way too. And also making sure that being in shape, like getting your cardio in, because there was some points like stage 20, which was at the very end of the top of the hill, like, and you're going up, you can really start to feel the less oxygen as you're climbing that hill. So being able to make sure that you are a little bit in better shape, like I'm not talking about like going crazy to the gym, but I'm making sure that you are able to be out there walking constantly, getting out into the mountains as much as I could. So I was, you know, making sure that way, but hydration was key for me. I found that with that hydration I did beforehand the week before, I didn't feel anything at all. Like I didn't feel sick at the end of the day. I didn't feel overexhausted or heat exhaustion because they, like I said, they had a lot of water available, making sure that I was drinking at least one water bottle a stage. And then in between that, hydrating with those electrolyte, like little pouches too. And that was the key to my success there.
Perfect. Jess, did you prepare differently besides going to somebody's home and drinking their coffee?
like what Paige was saying, hydration is really important. I get like headaches really easily. So I always am like liking to stay hydrated, but I was like pumping myself with like electrolytes, and all that. And like also like what she was saying with the cardio. So I was at the gym quite a bit. I was doing a lot of cardio just to like prepare, just because there's such like a significant elevation difference from here to Cameo. But we also, my dad and I, we traveled with Andre. So we went down a couple days early to adjust, and we went up to Pikes Peak, which was like a 14,000 feet elevation. Okay. So we got to like up there, we were like walking around, like breathing in like the really thin air. So, but yeah, it was good. And honestly, like the adjusting wasn't even that much of an issue. I just felt like a noticeable difference. Like it was just like a lot more effort to like breathe. So I'm like, I'm so thankful for living in Ontario for that, but
yeah,
but it wasn't horrible at all. I was expecting a lot worse, but no complaints. It was smooth. Stay hydrated. You know, you're good.
Perfect. How did you prepare, Yannick? How are you preparing just even through practice or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I don't really have access to anything that is not sea level around here, so we know it might be an issue. I've been traveling a lot, so I know like how it was going to be like at more than 5,000 feet, and I know like my body doesn't really mind this part, but hydration, like Paige said, like I've been eating really well for like the month prior of the match, and I'm not really a healthy eater usually. I like smokers, barbecue, steaks, and stuff like that. So I've tried to put some tomatoes and lettuce out of, you know, over my steaks, plus a lot of water, just, you know, to get prep. And I've been hitting the gym a lot just to, you know, help the body just a bit more. And about 4 weeks prior of the world, I stopped shooting, which might sound weird, but you know, sometimes when you shoot too much for like competitively, it get to your brain and stuff like that. So like about, I did a match probably 4 weeks before the world. And then I went to do some drop confirmation and ballistic stuff the weeks later. And then I just started prepping all the stuff for the world, not shooting around before the training day down there. But we had like 2 days before the match that we could shoot just for like training and stuff like that. And that's the only thing I've been doing. You know, I've been looking through pictures of Cameo, how the mountains are, and I know other shooters have been printing pictures of Cameo range just, you know, to get used to the colors, and they've put targets on that, and they've been using that for doing some dry fire just to get used to the terrain, the gray and tan stuff, like we're used to get gray, not gray, but green in the mountain here. So just to keep the eyes, you know, on that. But on my side, you know, I've been shooting a lot during the year. Took a break a month prior just to, you know, get the mental game on, and that's about it. Yeah.
Perfect. Tony, Dustin?
You asked like a whole bunch of my questions. I have a whole notebook full of questions. You asked like most of them, so
ooh.
I mean, yeah, or some element of that. I love the concept of like a shooting diet, but the electrolyte thing, that's huge, and I work in film a whole bunch, so like we kind of survive off those same things, and yeah, no, that's great.
It was also nice too because they gave us a little like, swag package, and they actually put electrolyte packs in there too. So they were prepared. They already knew a little bit, you know, what the environment is like there, and they were already taking care of us too, which was awesome. Because I brought a bunch down because I didn't know what I was going to have, and they're easy to transport, like a little package in your bag, right, your range bag. So it was cool that they supplied those to us too.
What was the temperature on average at that time?
It was really nice. It was like in the 30s.
Yeah, it's dry too, right? It's not that humid gross where you can't breathe, right? Where it's more enjoyable in the 30s. So I really enjoy it because I love the sun and the heat, and there's wind too, which, you know, that by Monday the wind went crazy in the afternoon. Like
I saw it
was
that.
It was like a tornado storm like had come through right around like 1 o'clock, and because I was helping spot with just helping the people spot at stages, and it came through, and I was like, wow, I am glad I am not shooting today, because that was some crazy wind, and it would switch directions too. And I'm like, those open shooters, man, they know how to freaking be able to take that and just go with it and not let it bother them at all. Like I was the guy that had won the whole match, Austin Bushman. I was in that group too, and just watching them take those environmentals and change up in mid stage is just amazing to watch too. And that was another experience, like to see these pro shooters shoot and how they shot and how they approached the stage too is really important. So that's why it's important to get out to matches and not only to shoot, but also to watch what other people are doing and learn from that too, right? Even though it's everybody doesn't shoot the same, it's good to see how other people are doing it and try it out for yourself and see if it works for you, right? And you learn so much by just watching, and then being able to be on glass too. So being on glass means have a set of binos or a spotting scope and watching what's going on, because you not only watch to see what's happening, but you also learn how to read wind, see your environmentals and everything else that's going on. It's a huge game changer when you can get more time, not only like trigger practice, but also behind glass watching these things and seeing how it's done.
Just to add on to that as well. Sorry. Everyone, like, it was really cool to like watch how everyone who's like different countries, how everyone shot. One guy, Derek Webster, I got to shoot with him. He actually won, I believe, Factory. He's an amazing shooter. And just like watching him shoot and how he like approached stages, like Paige was saying, like it was so, like I learned so much from him. And like the wind and like how he ran his Kestrel as well. Like he taught me how to do like different dope cards. I never did dope cards before Cameo did that. He taught me after day one, and I was like, never going back. but you learn so much and like he was also so willing to help, and he was really helpful.
Didn't you exchange shirts with him too?
I did, yeah.
Yeah,
the good old jersey swap.
It's a really cute little tradition that they do.
I even got my jersey. What I did is I took one of my jerseys and I went around and I got a whole bunch of different people from different countries to sign it. So I can put it up and frame it and, you know, have those memories. And then it just reminds me of, you know, the time we had, and everybody was coming and they're like, can you sign? So it was kind of a cool little exchange to do, you know, just sign it and have that little piece from Cameo.
And that's funny, cause I did the exact same. Well, it's in the background. You cannot really see it from here. Maybe no, but whatever. I did the same with my hat, like the Capra hat. Every country has signed it. And that's really good memories. And just to get back on the wind, because I've shot in the wind Paige was talking about, and we got with the Kestrel, we got I think it was 38 miles per hour wind when I shot. And during the afternoon, and I shot about 4 stages with those wind, and I was honestly super happy with that, because out east we can hear about the west side saying how hard the wind is down there and stuff like that. And, you know, east side, we got switchy wind but usually not really more than 10 to 15 miles per hour on the highest. So going to Camille, I was expecting, like I was hoping to shoot in big winds because I'm not used to that. And, you know, up to day three, we only had about the same thing that we have here, like 5 to 10 miles per hour wind, switchy, but not too bad. And the forecast was saying it's going to be the same on Monday. So I was like, well, all right, I came back to here to see what the wind is going, but it's exactly the same as home. And then during the afternoon, we got that like 30 plus miles per hour wind, super switchy and stuff like that. And I remember shooting on Pierre's barricade and the wind was blowing so hard. I was having a really hard time just to stay on my feet to take my shot, like stable. And the prop was stable and everything was fine. It was just pushing me in the back and so hard that I was having a really hard time just to be able to place my shot correctly. But it was a really nice experience. And I've learned a lot of the wind down there, and I've shot 2 or 3 long range stages too with that and did really well. So yeah, it was amazing to shoot that too.
I think you're probably one of the only persons that would have said it was amazing to shoot in 40 mile an hour winds.
I got some amazing picture where you like, because it's all super dry. I got some amazing picture of sand in the air that you cannot see. Like you can tell there is something there, and it's actually a shooter that's trying to shoot an engaged target up to 1,000 yards, and you barely can see him. And really? The shooter is just waiting there, like for the sand to go off, so we can see again the target and go back again taking his shot. It was just like crazy fun to look at, and really cool.
Yeah,
really cool.
To add on to the wind as well, I found it honestly. I was really expecting like these, because I also heard about like the out like west wind or out east. I don't really know. Out west, switch. I think. the winds are. I don't know what direction. Like the winds were like crazy, and I was like, oh man, like because like in Ontario, there's like the switchy like tailwinds or the headwinds or like the. Like the breezes are from like the side, but like I was expecting like these crazy winds, like what they had in like Monday. But I was really fortunate, and I like shot in like really nice like calm wind, like calmish. But it was nice because like I said, I went and I shot with Marcus Holm from Only Shooters, down in Gunnison. So I kind of had like a little bit of like knowledge behind me, like going into Cameo with like how the wind acts in like the mountains and how like the updrafts work and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but it was overall a lot more manageable than I was expecting it to be, which was nice.
Sounds like you had a great shooting experience.
It sounds like all really of good. Them did. There was a question. Right there it is. What stages did you like the best and worst?
I think my worst one was when I actually dropped my rifle on live camera. That was. There was that one, which was a little painful. I mean, like, I was like, well, it happened. What are you going to do about it? You just go back down to the 0-point range and go from there, right? My best stage, I would say the funnest stage was stage 20. It was hard because we had the little Ipstick ones, and there was like a smaller one and then a bigger one below it. And you're going varying distances. And then the wind had picked up a little bit. What happened was the storm was kind of coming in. So, at one point the wind was going one way and then it changed halfway through, but it was cool because I was able to pick that up. And then I was able to do the correction halfway through. So I found that a cool thing, being able to see that and correct that way. So I mean, it wasn't my best stage like I did at, but I thought it was my funnest stage. Or there was one, the last one was a KYL. I didn't do the best on it, but what a KYL is, like, know your limits. So I turned around after the ROs and I said, I did not know my limits and I did not play within it. And they just burst out laughing. Like that was good. Cause they were laughing at that too. So that was another fun stage.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jess, what about you? What were your best and worst stages?
I'll start with my best one. Actually, So actually, it's not my worst because it ties into my best. So it was 19. It's a little bit of a story. So it was stage 19, and the way it was set up, it was in between. It was like fences like that, and there was like, you know, it was a whole bunch of different positions and two targets, and there was a target one and target two, but they're like, you'd think you'd read it like target one, target two. It was actually target two, target one. But the way the stage was set up, it was in between two bushes. So you couldn't really spot that well. And then all the ROs kind of like blocked. So then everyone was like all crammed in trying to spot. Yeah. So I was also like kind of like close to like being like up to like the first couple shooters. So I didn't really get to like spot very much. So I actually mixed up my target one, my target two. I zeroed that stage. That was the only, that was the only one I zeroed though.
Yeah,
but it was learning. Shove your way in, get on glass.
Oh yeah, yeah. But you take your spot with your tripod and you push your way in there to see it for sure.
Yeah, because otherwise you're not seeing it, and then you make the mistake of mixing up target one, target two. Rookie mistake, yep. But you know we make up for it. Because then target or stage 20, I went there and it was the big little Ipsix. That one I did really good on because I came off of it. And like also the one thing that I really noticed was like keeping like yourself like mentally in check after a bad stage. If you like go and like you're having a good day, you have one bad stage and then you're like, you know, I suck, like I'm done. Like your performance drops off so much as well. So you need to stay like no matter what happens, you need to like ride like your high because like, otherwise, like your just performance is going to tank. Like you need to stay positive. You know, positive attitude equals positive performance. That was my that was my little tip from my shooter bio. So, anyways, going into stage 20, the big little Ipsix. I went in good attitude. I was like, you know what, whatever, goldfish memory. I'm done with that stage. Nothing I can do with it. So then, I went into it and I did really good. I don't remember what I got in it. I think I dropped two or three shots maybe, but I nailed all the little ones of like the Ipsic arrays, and then I missed off the big ones, which was good because I corrected for myself. But it was really good to feel like a feeling of a comeback off of like a really bad stage, which brought me back up. And then like my funnest like actual stage, there was this one where you had to shoot off of like the hood of a car, then take two shots. I actually don't remember how many targets there was, but there was a lot of targets. Take your shots of targets, move into the window of the driver's seat, shoot through the passenger window too, to the targets, and then you had to shoot off the hood, or no, off of the roof of it. So you had to ground
your rifle like a little ramp on the
staircase that they made. So you're booking it, like you're running as fast as you can. I swung myself around the side of the railing, ran up. I've never ran faster in my entire life. Cause like I was timing out a lot because the target acquisition was hard, but then I got up, I shot, it was three, I remember, because it was 1, 2, 3 on the hood in the window, and then move up, it was 1, 2, 3, and you double tap the last one. I forgot to double tap the last one. Because I don't know, my mind must have just been run. Yeah. And then I forgot, but then I remembered because the RO was just standing there, he was like standing there, I'm like done. Oh no, I forgot. I go back down my rifle. I time out like a second before I broke my shot, and I was like, oh, that sucked. But it was a really fun stage. I got a cool little video of it.
That's awesome.
It was really good.
Yannick, what about yourself? Best and worst?
Best, it's not gonna be more original than Paige and Jess, but I really liked stage 20. Not because of the targets or the order or whatever. It was because of the wind call on that stage. It's exactly at the exit of the funnel of the valley we had, and like everyone, I was probably second or third to shoot, and everyone was talking about wind plan and stuff, and I was looking at it, there is way more wind down there than what we can feel right now, because we felt like there was no wind, and I was like, there is no way, there's nothing down there. And my plan was to start with 1.5 mils of wind. And the shooter before me, I spotted on glass. He took a first shot and he ended up 1 mils downwind. So I was like, oh, 1.5 makes some sense. And when I told my plan to the guy who was there from Namibia, and he was like, nah, that's not that much wind. Like, he was like, go 5/10. I was like, well, you know what? I'll go with 1.5 and see. And I took my shot at 1.5 and I got the like first round impact dead center on the target. And I think I cleaned it or maybe dropped one. And I was like, dang, that was a lot of wind down there. You cannot feel and you cannot see. And I was super proud of it. And when the Namibia guy was shooting just after me, and when I pulled my rifle out, I looked at him and I was like, yeah, it's 1.5. And I dropped my rifle, get on glass, and I saw him take his shot and miss by a mil downwind. And at the end, when he come back, it was like, you didn't trust my wind call? And he was like, nah, I didn't trust your wind call. And so he missed his shot. That was just a funny one. But I was really proud of that. And my worst one was, as I said earlier, my rifle let me down, I'll say halfway through day one. And I was getting for the next stage, and I got Ryan's rifle. And I don't know if you've met Ryan. You probably saw him in MDT video. He's probably like...
He's a little bigger than you are.
A little bigger. Yeah, he's a little bigger than I am. So I got his rifle. This, like, my rifle is 20-something pound, 20.8 pound. And his rifle is probably like 25, 26 pound, which is way too much for me. Plus, it's not really like... we don't use the same length. We don't like... Yeah. Tons of different stuff, not the same scope. And so my worst stage was the first stage. You know, I've adjusted whatever I could do. And my first stage was trying to, you know, make it with his rifle the first time. The drop didn't line up, but, you know, the ergonomics of the rifle was not even close of what I'm used to. So I was just fighting with the rifle the whole stage. And I think I got like a 4 out of it, and it was a battle to get those points. So it's probably my worst one, but at least I've been able to, you know, keep shooting. So
yeah,
that's awesome. And honestly, like, all of you guys listening to all of you has been really, really wonderful. Just like, you all have different perspectives, and but you've all made this game that you're playing very interesting to me. Yeah. I'm sure to the listeners too. This is going to be a problem for me later. And that comes into my like one question that, you know, how, all right, we'll say for me, but for anybody in Canada really listening and interested in getting into this, what are the steps? What do we got to do?
For me. So the first thing to do would be, there's this thing called Practice Score. So that's where all the matches are going to be on there. So you got to look up for your local area, see if there is any matches, and just, you don't even have to bring a rifle. You can just go to the match and just go check it out because I know at first it's a little intimidating, but just going out and seeing how it's done, talking to people, and that will give you a little bit more confidence to then next time maybe bring your rifle with you. Or if you want to bring your rifle out, have at her, because us in the community, we're more than welcome to help you out. You can always go to the match director, say, hey, I'm a first time shooter. They'll make sure that you have the whole rundown, you know, the process of how we run a stage, all of that. They're not going to just leave you, you know, and just drop you and go, right? So making sure that's happening. Also joining groups, for example, in BC, like I said, we have the BC PRL. So joining that on Facebook. We all also have a website where we keep you up to date on matches that will be coming out throughout the whole year and the location. So we don't do it in just one location. We try to do a couple different locations across BC too, in the lower mainland on Vancouver Island. Like I said, we have matches up in Merritt, in the Nicola Valley. It's an awesome range up there too. Yeah. Try that up there. We're trying to expand it more, like I said, to more two-day matches, stuff like that. Definitely reach out to us anytime. We are more than happy to help you out. You can even reach out to me personally off my social media. I am always happy to help anybody out, get them started off, point them in the right direction, because I want to get as many, like I said before, shooters as possible. And I will always answer anybody. You're never bothered. Please bother me. I want you to, because I really want to get a lot of people out there shooting. And I love talking about the sport. I love talking about shooting. And I am more than happy to share my knowledge with anybody. And then there's no dumb questions. I know everybody gets a little like, is this a stupid question? I'm like, no, like, I didn't know anything at first either. I had to start somewhere. So reach out to me, reach out to anybody else that you may know on social media that does it. or look at, like I said, it's called Practice Score. Go online. It will show you any local matches in your area and just go and try out. Just do it. There's nothing to it but to do it, like I say.
That's perfect. And then I'm assuming the same can be said for out east, Yannick and Jess. There's
Might not have as much center fire match in Canada Easter side, but we have some in Valcartier. There is some in New Brunswick, which is further depending where you live. But there is plenty just across the border too. And we got a lot of people who are willing to help and provide a rifle if it's your first time, and provide tons of help if you already have rifle. And plus there is some classes. I know in Ontario there is also PRS matches now at Borden.
Yep, there is.
Which is pretty much accessible for everyone. And that's brand new league. I think it's the first year they've held them. And so you can get there, and there's a ton of new shooters down there too.
Yeah,
and I don't know if anybody really does know about the prairies. There's got to be some stuff going on in the prairies. It's the only place you can shoot forever.
Even in Alberta too, there's another league there to run by some really good shooters people too. So check that out. There is like PRS style matches that are run out there, and they have a lot more room too. Like for example, Apex ran a pro series match up there near Calgary. So there we go. Yeah. So Ben, he's already in there. Same. But yeah. There's Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, like pretty much almost every single province is running some sort of style of match. And it's from rimfire to center fire. You don't have to jump into center fire right away. If you don't feel comfortable, definitely come out to the rimfire matches, because the distances are a lot closer. It build up your confidence in it, and they're so easy to be able to get rimfire rifles too, right? So it's if you don't want to go too big, or do it, go big. That's what I always say, just go swinging for the fences, go for it right away. So
you are not a good influence, are you?
No, I am not. I was like, just, it's like the buy once cry once thing, right? Like just go for it. Let's just I'll make it happen.
Buy it or borrow a rifle and then replicate that. So Paige, you're going to let Dustin borrow one of your rifles, and then he's going to replicate that.
And then I'm going to take a bunch of pictures and copy it exactly. So
I know. I just did. I just put mine into a new J. Allen. So it's a long-standing chassis that came out. So let's go shoot that. It's like the Cadillac of chassis. I feel it's very comfortable, very easy to shoot. I know some places up here that we can shoot in the mountains too, and get out to about 1,000 yards. So
let's do it. Fantastic. Yeah, I'll definitely steal your spot. I had a spot that was out in Chilliwack that we put some plates up around the 800 mark, and I think that was but that's great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take you up.
Let's
on that.
Do it. Yeah, do it. Message me. We'll go.
Deal. Tony, anybody else got any questions?
This is going to be a long question. I don't want to drag it for too long, but I'll put the focus on Yannick, because I saw a Dylan Press in the background.
Oh, I see it too.
And I bet you guys are making you got the whole setup too. Let's just do a quick run through of what kind of ammo you're shooting. A hand-loaded Wildcat-based cartridges is what I've heard so far. I'm guessing Pearson Brass, Sierra bullets, some kind of vitivari powder.
I'm running a Lapua brass, but nothing against Peterson, honestly. That's my second choice.
Both premium.
Exactly. It's one or the other. I have Peterson brass for other calibers, and whatever. Yeah, Sierra 95 grains bullet in my 22 BR this year, but I'm gonna change my caliber for next year for 6 BRA. It's all hand loaded for, of course, and it's all done on the Dylan progressive, because I shoot kind of a lot of ammunition, and I like to spend some time either at the range or with my family or at work. So the less I spend in the reloading room, the better I am. And honestly, like the Dylan make super great ammunition. So yeah, it's just way, way, way faster. I can save like 10 hours per week after a match, just because of that. So yeah, I just do it as fast as I can. And
cool.
Paige, do you reload? Your own?
Yes, I do. And the nice thing is that our work has a reloading station. So
there you go. You can do that.
I have a lot of benefits working with MDT. They always give us an ammo allowance. So they really want to get us as staff out to shoot. So they're an amazing company. They make sure us as employees are supported and be able to get out there and use the products too. So it's not just that we produce it, we're also using it too. So I'm running a 6BR, Peterson Brass. I was using the Hornady ELDM 108 grain bullets, and I'm using Varget right now. So it's a painful. Reloading supplies definitely are not the cheapest as they used to be. So, but having the opportunity to be able to have the reloading stuff at work. So I come in early, I can then get a little bit of brass prep done, go to work. After work, come and reload a little bit. So being able to have that there, and it doesn't take up space in my house because I don't have a ton of room. And then also not having to have the expense of buying it too, because it's not cheap at first. So this game is definitely, it's not a cheap game. It can get expensive. So being able to have those different ways of saving, you know, those pennies, they do add up. So it's awesome. I really love the BR. It is like the easy button. It's like I said before, I had to go down to something that's less recoiling for me, because what's really important is being able to see where my shots go, see where they're landing, see where they're hitting on the plate, because that helps me then make corrections and decide when I need to do that. So that's why I went to the 6BR from the 6.5 Creed, even though starting off with a 6.5 Creed, I would recommend for somebody, because you're going to get used to dealing with that recoil and learning the proper way instead of going down to something super light and doing bad habits. So that's why I went from that one to the other.
Fair.
Yeah.
I had one other little question for Jess. I know you being younger, probably not doing too much reloading yet, but I was curious, have you, maybe some too, but no judgment at all. I wasn't reloading until I was in my 20s. Have you managed to like interest or drag any friends to the range? Like, you are a young cohort. Have you managed to convert any of the other youth into your hobby that you're very passionate about?
So to answer your first part of your question, I contribute a little bit to my reloading. Like I say, it's a blue job. That's for my dad. He teaches me.
Oh, this guy's also cheating. All the cheaters out here, gamers.
Hey, if I have a dad who's willing to do it, he can do it for me. I will graciously give him. Here, you do it.
It's called working smarter. Harder.
Correct.
Exactly. But yeah, it's hard to bring my friends out. Just because like guns can be very, very like a hit or miss subject. Because like some people, when they're like, oh, like you shoot guns, like people are like, oh, you're so intimidating. And like guys at school are like, I'm like actually really intimidated by you.
That's great. Don't F with me.
Exactly, right? Yeah, the deterrent.
But I plan, because we host like a little Halloween match, so I plan to bring one of my like guy friends out, hopefully, if everything goes smoothly. But I'm not really, but I'm
no, I get that to. I totally understand that. I know they're a touchy subject. I just, you know, you're really, really passionate about it, just like this
yeah
conversation with you, I can tell that this is a thing that you really love and enjoy. And I think, you know, having you be like representing our country at that level, is you're in a really, really cool kind of, I hate to use the word, privileged place in that regard, just because there's a little bit of like gravitas to that in a way, and you have a little bit of authority there too. And I think that, you know, it's really cool. And if anybody had an opportunity to, you know, maybe sway some opinions of some younger folks getting into that, it might be you, where, you know, you can just feel the passion come off you when you talk. I could see, even if it's just, if you just dragged one person out once in a while, I could see that being a real positive endeavor. This is my nudge. I'm nudging you. Just encourage the youth to keep shooting.
Yeah. I also met a girl named Peyton, a couple years ago, but we've kind of connected with each other, and now we're friends through Instagram and stuff, and we'll squad together at matches, which is nice. So there's someone my age who's a girl as well, which is so nice. Yeah. And I'm glad she stuck with it as well, because she's gotten so good. But I'll go and I'll not help her, but I'll go and I'll be squatted with her, and it's fun, and I'll spread my knowledge, you know, because I grew up I've grown up shooting, and I've been shooting since the start of the PRS competitions. So I've got to grow and learn with it while my brain's still so young. And it's nice. And I got to learn off so many really good people, like my dad, especially. He's been a really big help, obviously. So I learned a lot of him. And especially this year, going down to MKM, squatting with people like Ken Sanosky, Allison Zane as well. She was such a big help. I squatted with her my first pro match, and she was a really big help. It's been good.
That's awesome. I'm really excited to watch your shooting career, because goodness, you're gonna be trouble in a couple of years, aren't you? You're already
she's already now. Trouble.
Yeah. But no, that's what I mean. 16, my head's still 16, she's already operating at this level. I cannot wait to see what several more years of training and honing those skills turn you into.
She's shot a 248 on the Maple Seed qualifying. She's the whatever record holder.
Wow. Next year, 250.
Yeah, you're going to be doing 250, right?
Do it.
So, I need my marksmanship, the elite patch now.
Yeah.
You betcha. So I do want to talk about your dad a little bit, Jess.
Yeah.
He brought you to one of the first Maple Seeds that we had, and you were, I believe, 9.
I think it was 8 or 9. I don't really remember. Yeah, it was a while ago.
I'm going to tell you that 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds, there's only a few that we've let on the line. One of them was Jess, and one of them was Ryan McLean's daughter, and that's it, right? Jess, I've literally seen her grow up in shooting, and her dad was a huge part of this. And your dad's a match director as well for ORPS matches down in southwestern Ontario. And I think that shooting together has been wonderful. It's great to see dad and daughter bonding. It's something that you and I talked about with Allison as well. She does that with her dad, and it's something that we're seeing you do. And as I said, you know what, you are trouble right now, because you are kicking ass and taking names. But at 16 years old, you have nowhere else but up to go. No, that's the wrong way to phrase that. you're doing so great, and I'm just so proud of you.
Just to build off that a little bit more, my dad, obviously he's been really good. There's no one I credit more for being here than him. Obviously he got me into it, and he's put so much time and a lot of money, especially with the Starfire so cheap. But he's dedicated a lot and sacrificed a lot so I can compete at this level, which I'm really grateful for. And it's nice to have like a father-daughter relationship, because I know a lot of people, a lot of girls especially, have trouble connecting with their dad, because there's not really much to connect with. But it's really nice that we have this bond over it, which is good. So we have a really good relationship over it. We're buddies. Chrissy Cat, as I call him. But he's been really good. I'm really fortunate to have such a great dad like him. And the rest of my family as well. And my mom for letting us come out and shoot so much, especially this whole summer.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of shooting. But I'm just really grateful. My family's amazing.
That's awesome.
See, shooting's all about family.
Yeah. Together, right?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about MDT? Because that's where most of you actually work. It was a sponsor of the match, of the team and that. And then we're going to get into actually how we can support you in the future. So let's talk a little bit about MDT.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so anybody who doesn't know MDT, we make precision bolt action rifles, precision bolt action chassis and accessories. So we do a whole range of it. So we go from, beginning, starting off into the chassis world all the way up to like the elite chassis, like our ACC Elite. So it has all the bells and whistles on it that you would ever need to shoot in PRS or any other type of competition. But we want to make sure we make top quality legendary stuff. We always call it legendary. There is options for you too. It's not have to go for the most expensive thing too, because all of our chassis are going to provide you with quality and rigidity and stability for your factory rifle. And it's such an easy drop in too. So it's literally take your rifle, take it out of your factory shop, drop it in, two action screws off to the range. Like that's how simple and easy it is for you to do. You don't have to send it to a gunsmith or anything like that. The company as a whole is amazing. The owner is also out there competing. The owner makes sure the most important thing to him is customers and his employees first. That is the most important thing. Obviously money is in there because we need to keep the lights on and the company going, but I have never worked for a company that has cared so much about their employees to the point that he has a barbecue at his house every year and invites everybody from, you know, where we do all of our assembly, where we do our office staff to manufacturing, all are invited to his house and he cooks for us too. Like he's out there flipping burgers, you know, and his wife too works with us too. She runs our Canadian warehouse. We also have a warehouse based out of Idaho Falls in the States there, because we do a lot of business down there, because it is, the shooting sport is massive in the States, along with in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. So we're shipping all over the place, but we do most of our manufacturing here in Chilliwack, BC. So it's cool to be able to say like a lot of this is Canadian made and have a place. Like a lot of people think we're American when they come, and they're like, wow, you're in Canada. I'm like, yeah, we're majority of our stuff is Canadian. All the other stuff, like maybe 10% of it's down in the States at our Idaho warehouse where a lot of our electronics and stuff is. But yeah, otherwise it's all the way up here. And the amount of community within MDT too. We're always helping each other out. We're very involved. The owner also keeps everybody involved too. We have every Friday, we have a meeting and an update and everybody's invited there. The Sherilyn, who is the owner's wife, she bakes us like every time, bakes stuff for us. And this is like hand baked stuff. It's not just going to the store and picking up donuts. Like she bakes and we're spoiled. I'm surprised I'm not like 400 pounds already with all the sweets we have. Yeah. And they're always doing a little things. Like we have a barbecue bake off and a bake off every year too. And they give us prizes for that. So it's not just about, you know, putting stuff out there and selling it. It's very much about creating this community and creating customers too, along with the staff. So it's not always money. Things seem to be nowadays. It's where he's very involved in making sure, listening to our customers, adding value, and being able to get everybody out there shooting. That's really important to us.
Awesome.
Yep.
Can you tell the engineering staff I want a 30-round drum mag, please?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That'd be awesome. We want that too, because a lot of us are shooters. So a lot of these products too that we do is we're backing it. I'm like, oh, I want this. So let's put this in here and try to push it along, right?
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Capra, how we can support you guys? You can have a month before you start planning for Italy. Or no, where is
the UK?
I can't remember.
It's in Great the UK. Britain next year.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, UK.
Yeah.
Can we support Rimfire? How can we support Centerfire? Yeah, how can we?
It already started, honestly. We got some partner in the industry already emails us this week. I've seen. So it's going to force us to to start the work sooner than later. So we got the email, Capra email. It's on the Facebook page. We also have the Facebook chat. People can reach out to us through there for any help for the shooters and stuff like that. And we're going to reach, of course, we're going to reach the company again this year who've helped us for this year and the year prior. So, yeah, it's all the contact information are on the Facebook page. And we also have the website with contact information there. So anyone who wants to send that earlier, and we're going to do the qualification process pretty much early November, I think. We're just waiting for the rimfire finale that is occurring this weekend, actually, in the States. Then we're going to start the application form and everything on.
Awesome.
Awesome.
So if people want to send you the money, just reach out and send you an email.
Yeah. And like if it's if it's like everyone, you know, right? those days who just want T-shirts and hats and stuff like that, we will definitely do this again this year. Yeah. It's probably we did it pretty late for this year because at the beginning, the T-shirt and hat was just for the shooters, you know, so we were passing an order for just us. And then we figured like, well, if we do an order, maybe we could like offer that for anyone who would like to support. So we're probably going to do that this year again, because we got tons of people who had the interest in that. And that's really appreciated for us too.
Perfect.
Yeah, it would be great to be able to support you guys. So
yeah.
Plus, it's a Canadian company. You know, with most of the sponsors have been Canadian company. If you've heard with it, like all the name I've said earlier, and the T-shirts and hats have been made in Calgary, also from what I know. So yeah, it's still like helping Canadians company too.
Cool.
We should have had Carly on the show.
We really should have.
Yeah, she's like, down there. I can see her. Like,
she's listening. Yeah, she's listening. She's chatting. Yeah.
Carly will have you on soon. Say, no,
yeah, we'll bring her on.
Yeah.
She's on top of it.
Yeah,
that's
she is.
So good.
All right.
Well, are we?
I'm tapping out.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be late for a couple of you guys. Not for us BC folk, but everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Else I know.
We're at the end of the time zone thing.
Yeah.
No. Normally we would actually go on to a rest of the show and let you guys go, but I think after 2 hours of a show, we're good.
I don't blame you.
But thank you so much for coming on. Paige, thank you for coming on and making this your first podcast. Technically first podcast.
So I love this. I love talking to anybody about firearms and PRS and rifles, so thank you so much again. I know, right?
I'm not kidding. My partner's gonna be so mad. I need another gun friend.
Exactly. I love it. Let's talk.
yeah
absolutely.
Perfect. So Jess, sorry, Dustin.
No. And that goes for, I know I'm probably going to shoot myself in the foot, but that goes for anybody else listening. I am more than happy to always, be open and help anybody out. That's what I want. That's my passion too. My passion isn't only shooting, it's also helping others out get into the sport. Awesome. So don't be scared. Reach out.
Perfect. Jess, thank you so much for coming on. I'm hopefully going to be seeing you soon. You're going to be shooting a 250, the first one ever. But we'll see you soon. Watch for Elmira's opening up, by the way, if you want to come out and shoot that. It's open tonight. Just ask me if you want to come to Elmira on November 2nd. And Yannick, hopefully us will cross paths again soon. Maybe in Valcarce.
Maybe about Cartier, probably more if you go to Borden.
Yeah.
I don't know if you shoot Borden. I might go there again next year for either a clinic or just, enjoying the shooting there.
You should come out and do our known distances. Come out and shoot it. Just contact me.
Borden was the first time that I shot my center fire, actually, fun fact. My first little mini match. It was,
Maybe we can talk, Ryan. Do we know if that was one of the questions I was going to have for Ryan? Are we ever going to do Muford again? Maybe not.
I hope so. I'd like to shoot there.
Yeah, it doesn't look really good. I've talked to Chris 2 years ago, and I've talked to Ryan this year about that, and it's likely not going to happen. So I'm going to have to look with the new Major Rector in Valcarce to see if we can do something there. But
Okay. So one of the things that Paige, you mentioned, just come out, try it out. But one of the other things, if people are interested in trying PRS or just seeing what it's all about, go out and volunteer.
Yep.
you know,
100%.
That's the best way to learn.
Always looking for help. And it's one of the first things that I ever did with, I was not a new shooter, but Ryan reached out and says, hey, I need some help. So I said, I'll come and do it with you up in Meaford. And it was one of the best experiences that I've ever had. And I always, 100%. Every time Meaford was coming up, I'll come up and I'll give you a hand. Yep.
Awesome.
I'll be there. So reach out, volunteer. But it's a great community and some really, really good folks that are shooting in it and representing Canada. So.
Try our best.
All right. Thanks so much, guys, for coming on tonight.
Sounds good. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. All right. And real quick, should I just speed read the upcoming events or should we? Yeah, I'll do it quick. Upcoming events, there's a SPFGA. A three-gun match October 19th that's coming up. Another one on the 26th at Chad. That's a two-gun match. That's all you get. shocker, Ottawa's gun ban may reach up to $6 billion. It's going to be more, but it won't happen. And then also super sad, and we're going to close on a sad note. We forgot to mention it last week. The Shooting Edge is closing.
Yeah, it's
very, very sad. We know who's to blame, and that sucks. And that's new gun stuff. There's nothing super exciting unless you want to.
We'll talk about
No.
We'll save it for next time.
Yeah.
New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. We got to do the sponsor.
Okay, fine. All right, you're right. New gun stuff. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooters. Free shipping over $250, which includes ammunition. Some conditions apply, such as oversized or remote areas. They also offer $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals this week at Bullseye. There is an X95 Tavor in Flat Dark Earth. I need multiple hands to. Oh, there we go. Great. It's lovely. I have that gun. It's wonderful.
I think these are bloody hard to find right now. So.
Are they?
I have one.
Yeah, they come and go. Yeah,
well, no, I'm just saying, Bullseye have them.
Look, there's three in stock. Yeah, they're right there, Tony. So if you want one, get one.
I can't afford one. I'm sorry. But yeah, if you want a X95, reliable, not going to break, bullpup rifle, 5.56.
Got to put a better trigger in it, though.
That's what Kelly uses to hunt deer with, by the way. Isn't there a Timony
or...
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I put a better trigger in mine. But anyway, and then there's a couple other random bits. I'm going to guess Adriel will put those in. They're gun nuts. I can't be bothered. That's the best deal you're going to find all week, folks. So, and listener feedback, we read.
Can I just jump in for 2 seconds? Because there was one thing missed from upcoming events that I just wanted to mention because it does close Wednesday next week. So Superstition Mountain, I mentioned it earlier, but registration or the lottery registration, the lottery registration opened today. It will close Wednesday next week. So if you want to come down to the state next to me, to Arizona, shoot three gun. We already got a ton of Canadians that, I think we almost got 2 full squads worth of Canadians that registered today. So if you want to join the party, come on down. It's a great match. And I want to throw that out.
Okay.
Awesome. Sorry.
So one more thing. So we've just released 2 events that were to our Maple Seed members. So one in Elmira for November 2nd. And then we also have Huronia that's going to be happening on November, I believe it's 16th. And it's going out to our members and then it's going out to the public. So if people are listening and they want to shoot an event here in Ontario before the end of the year, those will be going public soon. So just go and buy them tickets.
Go do it, people. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. They can go to mapleseedrifleman.com. Or if they're our members, they can click on the email that they just got. That's
wonderful.
It.
Those were not in the teleprompter, by the way. So
No, this is how we roll.
Emails are happening next week. All of
Elmira just sold out.
Oh, well, there you go.
We had 8 an hour ago. Now it's totally sold out. So we're done.
Sold them all.
Peronia is the only one. Go ahead.
Yeah. Emails. I'll read this email next week. I promise.
Sorry, Richard. We'll get into it next week.
I can bounce back and forth. It's not my fault. This is how it all happens. And
it was very interesting in PRS shooting. Come on.
It was. Absolutely.
It was very, very entertaining. So, emails will come later. YouTube, Tony, you're going to take care of those next week, and all of the other listener feedback we've been doing the entire time. Hey, Richard, I see you smiling there. This is the end of the show now. I have to pee.
Okay, I'm taking over the steering wheel. Shout outs and recommendations, anyone?
Yeah. So I want to shout out the staff and sponsors for the New Mexico USPSA sectionals. They did an absolutely amazing job, put on a great match, and the sponsors stepped up for the prize table. That was incredible. Recommendation, just watched it last night. I think it's great because I'm going to instill it. It's from Hunter Constantine, and it's called How to Improve Your Vision Expert Level. It's really simple exercises and really good for getting your eyes trained for target transition.
I feel like my eyes are already beyond saving, so they're probably done. Dustin, anything from you?
I definitely want to shout out Jess, Paige, and Yannick. Y'all were awesome. That was definitely the best show we've had in a while, and very, very entertaining, and going to be a new hobby.
Don't forget to buy from MDT.
Yeah.
It's just going to be expensive for you. No, I just wanted to reiterate. Thanks again, Yannick and Jess and Paige for coming on. Ryan, sorry you couldn't come on, but we'll have you on again. And Carly and Vanyad, who are in the listening audience and kept adding to the show. We'll have you on as well at some point too. One of the best subjects that I just love PRS and talking about it. It's one of the most fun things in shooting right now, and we can still do it here in Canada. And obviously we have some really kick-ass Canadians who are shooting at top level across the world too. So just super proud of everybody, our whole entire team.
That's the most enticing thing. Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
All right. I'll give a quick shout out to MDT because we're talking about MDT so much, but they do cool stuff. Go on their YouTube channel, check out their barrel length test for both their centerfire and rimfire to find the optimal barrel lengths for you. For purchasing MDT equipment, you can find them at mdttac.ca or mdttac.com if you're in the U.S.
That's excellent. It sounds like you just actually are doing an ad for them. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think he's trying to get a sponsorship thing going on.
MDT is
not a precision shooter, so
MDT is probably one of the best chassis you can buy here in Canada or in North America. I talk about them every week.
I have lusted after more than a few of their offerings. Goodness.
Yep.
What else we got? What we bought from Sign Cabela's off. That's later. Sign off. Yeah, it's time to go home now. All right. I'm gonna go. It's been a pleasure, everybody.
Join our Discord server, watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Player. Join the CCFR.
Don't watch us on Twitter.
Twitch, sorry. Twitch. You can't find us on X. Maybe we should start that. Elon Musk is behind it. And we'll see you next week for hopefully not a very extended long show. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Goodbye. Good night. So long. It's been nice.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.